Hi, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Are you ready to receive the word of God today?
Yes.
Before we do that, truly heaven is here, amen?
Yes.
God's presence is here, amen?
Yes.
So let's declare and praise his name and declare, oh, hallelujah, just for who he is, our almighty God, amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Is that the way? No? All right. We're going to do it with our whole heart, with your spirit, amen?
Yes.
One, two, three. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen. And as I was preparing the message, it will make sense as we go through the message. But I feel like God is telling me there was a few of us that feel like they are normal. There is this spirit of, I'm just a normal person. I'm just an ordinary person. God wants to break that spirit today. Amen? I'm just going to declare that. Harder in the name of Jesus, Lord, that truly this spirit that is binding anyone who feels this, I'm normal, I'm ordinary, that no one cares about me. Lord, we just break that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that truly we will know that because we have an extraordinary God, we can be an extraordinary person. Yeah, amen. Lord, we just declare that right now in the name of Jesus, that we are broken from that spirit of ordinariness and we are stepping into extraordinary right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I feel like it's so in keeping with that prophetic word, that you know, that spirit that binds people, that just makes them don't feel like moving or wants to move but cannot move. You know, this kind of spirit that I feel was upon me as well, this spirit of limitation. But as I continue to grow, continue to be connected with God, continue to be connected with Pastor Joseph and Mechi, as they impart more and more, I feel more that limitations as being released. And as we go to like the conferences in Moa, when the words are being spoken, the prophetic words that are spoken, it just gives that freedom, that mindset, that changed mindset that allows us to move forward. Amen? So I just want to recap a little bit before I go into like today's message. Before this, I was sharing about being the sons of God, right? We need to know the heart of the Father, because when we know who our Father is, the more and more we know who our Father is, the more and more we know our position as sons. And we talk about sons because, you know, the Son of God is in us. But this applies to both male and female, right, for ladies and men, okay? But I will refer it, the Bible also talks about being children of God, child of God. But in this context, we just want to say that for all sons of God, all right, we are all sons of God. God desires that all of us to know that we are sons of God. So just going to the next one, because we see from the life of David that, you know, God really honors David. And, you know, he said this, that I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So God really wants us to get to know him, right? And as Pastor Vernon comes, when he declares that word, just very simple, God is close to me. Everyone say with me, God is close to me.
God is close to me.
And I am close to God.
I am close to God.
That's one of the aspects of God the Father wants this really close relationship with his sons. So for me, as I become a believer or becoming a Christian, as I shared many times, there is this level of relationship that I know is not just believing the gospel, though that is important, right? Because that's our foundation. Then we move into like, we need to know what God is saying to us. We need to know what the word of the Father is to all of us. So then we go to classes, we learn Bible study and all that to learn this word. But we are not just students, although that's important, right? I'm not saying we discard that, but it's building on. Then after that, when we learn that we're going to be disciples of Christ, then it goes on further, because we also need to know that we are sons, because then, depending on how we think of ourselves, whether we are son or servant, we will act differently. We will think differently. Amen? So, next one, Daniel. You know, the last time that God spoke to me was these three things that we should know. Firstly, God as our Savior. And we need to go further than just our salvation, just saying, yay, I'm going to heaven, okay. But as I gave that analogy, a lifeguard who just saved someone from drowning, what do you think he feels if the let's say that child jumps back into the pool and gets drowned again, and then the lifeguard has to go and save him again, and have to save him again? Because when God saves us from our sin, from our old life, he wants us to have a new life. Amen? Yeah? Do you agree? That when he saves us so that we can have a new life, right? Not back to the old way. And that not doesn't just happen one time. Because as we go on, I find that I have old mindsets that still in me that needs to be renewed, right? And there is a scripture that says, you know, anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. We have to really believe that we are a new creation, not just now our sins are forgiven, we are sinless, so we can enter heaven. Yes, that is good, right? That is good. That's the foundation. But what else, while we are waiting to enter heaven, what are we doing here on earth, right? This is what God has just been speaking to me. It's like, it cannot just be, let's just wait till Jesus come or until we go and see him. While we are here, there are things to do. There is a, quote-unquote, a life to live, right? What kind of life should we live? It cannot be the old way. It has to be a new way. And so, as God, as we know him as our Father, we know that as a Father, he protects, he provides, and more importantly, he wants us to progress. So whatever things that we have in life that is not right, he will correct it. Just as the scripture says, whom the Father loves, he will correct, right? This, to me, was God is speaking to me, firstly, don't worry about your basic needs. It's all provided so that we don't be too entwined or worry about all these things, but then we release from that so that we can learn to move forward. Secondly, also, as we are moving forward, as what we call new assignments are given to us as a church, as evangel, God is providing the resources for that already, right? Pastor declared this quite a long time ago. You know what? God's will, for every God's will, he will pay his bill, right? Which means whatever God wants to do on earth, the expenses has already been paid, or the resources has already been provided. All right, we just got to claim it, and we just got to move with him, in partnership with him, and with the segment of the house, our spiritual father and mother, I always say spiritual father and mother of the house, and together as a team, we all move together, amen? Not being worried by, oh, will there be this, or will there be that, all right? So that is the second mindset that will be released, and also that when pastor released this word, God is on the throne, he cares for his very own. It was very, very timely because, you know, when we are so, I use the word excited about different kinds of projects, then the natural mind starts to care. And how are we going to be able to, quote unquote, fund all these different projects, right? So when pastor released this word, God is on the throne, he cares for it, there is a release. And I hope all of you, when you hear this, when pastor released word, it comes very fast, very short, and then he sits down. So if you miss it and you don't take it to heart or meditate upon it, sometimes it gets, I wouldn't say lost, but it's recorded. If you want, you can go to the website. But as I meditate like on this just simple phrases that Pastor Joseph declares, you know, there is a certain dimension of release or peace as it comes. Amen? And the last one is that when we know our Father God is the King of Kings, so we as sons, you know, in the natural, if your father is the king, you are the prince, correct? And one day you also be the king. And so what he wants now is that he wants us to rise up to be this king or little kings to rule and reign with him. And I will explain this further in today's message. And the purpose is so that we can make, once we know the Father, then we can make the Father known to others. We can bring, once you know what his kingdom is like, then we bring the kingdom of God on earth here. Amen? All right? And so, knowing the heart of the Father is very crucial. Ultimately, He wants us to be like Him. Why? It's so that we have the same nature, we have the same character, we have that same ability or power to move wherever He needs to. Because one of the things that in Isaiah 59, it shows that, you know, when God sees some, you know, we see news, right, about, you know, things are getting worse, you know, bad, evil is spreading and things like that. Do we know that God is in control? Number one. Number two is, do you think God likes that? No. He actually wants to act. He wants to do something about it. This is something that we are being reminded about as we listen to Dr. Jonathan David, that, you know, He really needs men on the earth, troops on the earth. All these things that are happening in the world, He is watching that, and He is already moving to stop it, to arrest the decay, to arrest the powers of darkness. But He needs all of us to come up to stature, to come up to this qualification, to work together with Him to push back the powers of darkness. Amen. And as we sing that song as well, you know, like the children all sing, you know, pushing back the darkness. What does that mean to us? Is it just, yes, everything that we learn has two things. Right? I've said this before. Number one is, everyone say with me, individual responsibility. Number two is corporate fulfillment. Which means anything that God has been speaking to me, number one is, I got to see what I'm lacking, or how must I change? What must I do in my life to go further? All right? But in the midst of that, I cannot just see myself, because God uses His church to push back the powers of darkness. So sometimes, like when I first sang this song, like maybe a few years ago, you know, pushing back the darkness feels like I'm pushing darkness out of myself. I push it out. You know, maybe spirit of discouragement is in me. I push it out. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. We need to do this, right? Because sometimes devil puts thoughts in our mind, right? We need to push it out. But also, corporately, we need to see that we also need to work together to push out the powers of darkness. Amen? All right? So, if we go the next slide, which is what, in this context that I'm talking then today, is that we need to realize we are being built, or we are being prepared for something great. All right? That's why when I prepared this message, there was this thing that some of us may already set in our heart or set in our mind, it's not me, or I'm just ordinary, what can I do? You know, this kind of thing, it needs to be broken. We need to know why we have been created, number one, and why we have been saved. All right? And what are we doing right now while we are saved? Okay? We are not just waiting to go to heaven. While we are here, we have got a job to do. And also, for your personal breakthroughs, the revelations that you get, that prophetic words, as you're beginning to see yourself grow and grow in your Christian walk with the Lord, know that this is for a purpose. All right? It's not just for example, myself, it's not just now I feel a bit freer. I understand, yeah, my Father will keep me, protect me, and then that's it. It is for a greater purpose. We got to see that. All right? And, you know, we in Romans 8:19, where it says, you know, all of creation is waiting for the appearing of sons of God. So we need to see that we, as sons of God, as God is dealing with us, as we are beginning to, quote-unquote, appear, all right, in the world, it's so that we can bring the Father, or we can make the Father known to people around us. Yeah? Do you see this? Do you see that your personal breakthrough is not just for yourself, but it's for the people around you, and also to bring God's kingdom into wherever God is putting us? Yeah? So, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, let me read that. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession, that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people, and you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So, this scripture is really, really powerful. Because we have been chosen, and we are not chosen because of who we are, or whether we look handsome, or we are good, we are smart. But we are chosen for a purpose so that God can use us to push back the powers of darkness, to extend his kingdom. Amen? All right? So everyone say with me, we are built for something great. Okay? So don't be ordinary. Don't think I can't do it. And all that negative thoughts. Okay? Subdue that. Know that all of us, God wants us to progress. God wants us to be greater than who we are right now. Okay? Okay. Next. All right. So, we see here, right, with Joseph in the Bible, right? He received a vision that he will be someone great. All right? But what I will explain later is that there are some things he was lacking or was not ready yet. So there's a few things that happen from here to here, right? And most of you who are familiar with the stories would know, because of his quote-unquote pride, when he shares his vision with his brothers, he got in trouble and all that. But God turned it for good before he became the governor of Egypt, basically the second strongest man or second most important man in Egypt. But once we know that we are meant for something great, okay, so I want to put back the balance. We don't, wow, I'm going to be someone great and all that. And we forget the people around, which is most important, our covenantal relationships around us. Okay, this thing that one of the, what do you call the conference that we just went, the youth congress that we went, we had to read this because it's like, once we are freed from this, I can't do it, I'm too weak and all that, then we have to move into this, okay, now I'm being made into something great, but don't forget the people around us. Don't forget their covenantal relationships that you have, okay, because God is also raising them up, and God wants the church, which is his body, to move together, not just one person, one person, one person. Amen? All right? So before I go into that, all right, we got to keep this in mind, all right? Because we have to accurately, this is the word that Dr. Jonathan David used, we got to accurately position ourselves. Means, firstly, individually, see this thing, individual responsibility and corporate fulfillment. Individually, we have to position ourselves. We got to change. We cannot have the old mindset. But on the other hand, we got to see ourselves in the context of the body of Christ, okay? That we are not just ourselves, okay? We got to work together. So before I go into further into that, next slide, please, Daniel. All right? Under the individual responsibility, okay? This is the word that, or the example that Dr. Jonathan David gave, okay? Are we being made as a prince? Or are we being made as a pauper? Now, I do English as a second language in school. I didn't know what a pauper was, okay? I can roughly guess what he meant because he said a pauper is made in the streets. He's like, so what? When I found the definition, it's basically a poor person, okay? So for those of you who don't know, hopefully it's not me alone. A pauper is basically a poor person, someone in the streets, has nothing, okay? And you can see the contrast between that and a prince. Now, why did he give that? Because he said this. As a prince, there are some standards or there are some things we are trained for. Okay? Now, and for a pauper, in a way, he can do anything he wants. Do you agree with me? Character-wise, he can do whatever he wants. No worries. No quote-unquote palace rule. There's no way of sitting, way of eating, and things like that. Whereas a prince, there is a stature to behold. Yeah, there is some qualification that needs to be trained up. So we see, wow, I want to be this great person. Yes, I want to be used by God mightily. But there are the quote-unquote qualifications that we are going through. Do you understand? So when he gave this example, I was like, wow, yes, I want to be made as a prince. Yeah, because if our father is the king of kings, we are the prince. We got to think like that. And as prince or being made into that, there are certain things we need to be trained up to. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? Now, I've not read this book. I didn't even know there was this book or movie or whatever. But but I read the, what you call the synopsis, right? What basically happened was this prince and this pauper, the poor person, look so alike that they swap places. Okay, so the pauper starts staying in a palace, and the prince stayed where the pauper lived, which is like some dodgy house or poor house. I don't know. I didn't read the book. Okay, I'm just imagining as I go. So what's going to happen is, even though the pauper looks exactly the same as the prince, all the guards didn't recognize. They really thought it was the prince. But his mannerisms were weird to the guard, and they actually declared him insane. All right, because he wasn't acting like a prince. So then it's like, when I read this, it's like, oh, I see. If I am want to be a prince, want to be made great by God, there are certain standards of God that has to be in my life. Right? You know, we talk about seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. What is the right standard of God in our life? All right? We cannot like want one and forsaking the other. We cannot want being great but not wanting the training or the correction and all the other things that comes with it. Do you understand? The greater the vision or the greater the mission, the greater the training. Correct? Yeah? If the person who is trained for Olympics will be different from someone who is just training for a high school competition. Okay? Can you get the analogy now? Okay? So, hopefully what we're seeing then, what encourages me is that all the corrections, any hardship, difficulties that we are overcoming, or what God is dealing in my life right now, is for a greater purpose. It's not just for the sake of being disciplined or anything like that, but it's for a greater purpose. So you begin, that scripture that says, you know, you begin to love correction. I was like, how can that be how can someone come to a stage to love correction? You know, like in Malaysia we say, do you like the rotan? Rotan meaning the cane, right? Do you like the cane? Of course the child will never say yes, all right? Do you want to be No, they will never say yes, right? So when I read the scripture, doesn't make sense. How do you come to love correction? But if you realize what you are going to be at the end, you will love correction. Or I begin to appreciate correction. Yeah. As I was growing up as a little boy, I was a very cheeky, naughty boy. All right. And I got every kind of weapon has been used. Okay. from the ladle to the, you know, when we used to shower, we don't have shower. We used like a big bucket with the scoop, right? That one also can be used, right? Whatever that's close. But then, whatever it is, I begin to appreciate if that were not laid on me, I don't know what I'll be. Yeah? So maybe all the parents are laughing right now. But okay. But do you understand what I mean? Okay. Then let's put it in context then. What are we right now experiencing? Have we recently been offended by a word that's supposed to correct us? Have we been offended by, as someone here preaches the word, and then we say, oh, that's like for me, but how does he know? Or how does God knows that I'm experiencing this? You know that those are all for a greater purpose. Amen? All right? So, number one, is this mindset's got to be changed, all right? We are all prince. Everyone say with me, we are all prince.
We are all prince.
Okay? We don't want to be pauper, okay? Or don't have the pauper mentality. All right, next. The second thing is, as God is dealing with me, like, I've been talking about this quite again and again and for quite long. Why is it that even though I know, but I'm not going towards that, or I'm not, I'm struggling with it. Why? Because then to be a prince, it has to be the whole person. He cannot just be, I just give some time for training and then some time I go and live in the street and then have fun. Yeah? The giving of ourselves need to be total. And I'm beginning to realize, I mean, this scripture, Romans chapter 12, you know, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, Pastor has been saying this to us quite long already, right? I think it's years. I can't remember when was the first time, but it's been quite long, right? And as I beginning to meditate on this and order, you know, living sacrifice mean if you have the altar there, you are on it, all right? Not just I put my time from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and that's it. Or I just put my morning Sundays there. That's my sacrifice. Because God says he doesn't desire sacrifices or burnt offerings anymore. He wants our total life. So are we giving our total? Am I giving totally to him? You know, he desires us to be living sacrifice. And he wants us to change our mindset as well. Because we can also give totally of ourselves and bring with it what we want to do. So for me, I had to forgo or change a lot of mindsets. And when I see how I've been from, let's say, how long ago I went to GLS first, 2012. So say 2010, that's when pastors started calling, do you want to be trained? And that's when, you know, we started going in more, or taking God's word more seriously and all the trainings. You know, I begin to see how far I've come. It's not because of how good I am, but truly it's as I give more to God, as I present everything, and as I allow people around or authorities, which is our spiritual father and mother in the church, to work in my life, I'm beginning to see slowly I'm changing. But do you see where it's not a one night thing, one day, but that decisions has to be made again and again and again. Today I can say I present all, and then tomorrow I say, oh wait, maybe 10% today, and then the next day, or a bit freer, so 50%. But truly, do we understand what it means by presenting ourselves living sacrifice to God? Okay, so this is the second thing. First is that mindset, okay? We firstly must know we are being made for something great. Then second, we want to be something great. We cannot just give ourselves half here and half there. Just like that prince in that story, he wanted to see what it's like in the streets. But when he is there, he cannot act as a prince. Because as soon as he did that, what happens is people start beating him up because they think he's crazy. Even though he is a prince, right? He go and live as a pauper in the street. He tries away, but people all shut him down, okay? Which to me, I find it's like a life lesson almost. Like, we cannot just go back and forth. It has to be consistent, yeah? And then the next one is that we got to take our relationship with God seriously at all times. So for me, you know, Pastor, I think, declared this, you know, fear God and keep his commandments. It's so simple. It's so simple, but do we truly appreciate this this scripture or this verse? That, you know, it's easy to say, if we love God, then we must hear his word, and then we must believe it, and then we must do it if there is certain thing that there is requires action. Do we or not? I say to myself, do I take God's my relationship with God seriously? You know, and Pastor has focused since when they started the children, what do you call that, children session on Sunday evening. You know, as I take on Pastor's word, where we say, when we worship, we gotta worship with truth. We gotta have with actions. If I say I lift up my hands, then we have to do it with actions. I lift up my hand. We cannot sing I lift up my hands without lifting up. So as I sing, as then I begin to apply to every song that we sing. You know, we sing, I love you, Lord, right? And I lift my voice. So when we say we love God, are we really loving with the whole, our whole being, our whole decisions? All, when we say we love God, what does that actually mean, right? The Bible simply says, if we love God, we keep his commandments. Commandments can be the words that is in the Bible, but also the now word, whatever words that is being released by pastors, sometimes by prophets, you know, things that we hear that requires us to change or to change, are we taking that seriously? When we say, I love you, God, what does that entail? We got to start thinking about that. Because as we declare and declare, well, as I declare and declare, I begin to realize maybe my singing is not accompanied by my actions. Not only in church, yes, the lifting up of hands, that is in, while the song is being sung, but also when we sing, then does our life reflect it? Yeah? Because we like declaring. I'm not saying declaring is wrong. We like to declare we are prince, we have called to subdue the enemy, we have called for dominion, but there are things that are in the background that also needs to happen for all of us to truly come to that position as a prince, or as simply put now back to basic, as sons of God. Because being a son of God has this great significance, which is what God is beginning to tell me. With great significance, then there is great sacrifice. And with great sacrifice, then we're beginning to see God moving in even more and more into our lives as we move. Amen? Yeah. All right. And next one, Daniel. So we see that we see God choosing first, you know, when Jesus on earth, even he chooses 12 apostles first, or 12 men. Then after that, it grew to 120, right, that waited at the upper room. Then it grew to 3,000. Now, what does that show here? Is that whatever move of God that is coming, he uses men, or he sends out men to spread the words of the kingdom and to spread the kingdom of God. Amen? So even in Isaiah 6 verse 8, you know, God is continually asking this, who can I use? Who can I send? You know, this question needs to be for all of us. For me, when I come across this, it's like, oh, I've said it before, but can I say it again now? Can I say it again? Yes, send me. Yes, send me. Or no, send Ludwig. Or, you know, send someone else. You know? But no, this is really what's going in my mind. Okay? Like a lot of things, you know, yo, me again, or you know, you begin to feel a bit what's the word? Natural. Let's use that word. Begin to use a bit natural. Yeah? But when I begin to come back to this thing, look, I'm a son of God. God has chosen me. There is great things he has for my life, and there are also great trainings that I need to go through in order to achieve that. So, yes, we always talk about God is sovereign, nothing is impossible, things will happen, right? It's not wrong. But do we also realize that he needs people to make it accomplish, all right? Because God uses the church, which is you and me, to release the kingdom of God, and then it will to push out or to subdue the kingdom of darkness. Yeah? So, when God speaks to each and every one of us this way, all right, let's take him seriously. Let's begin to present our bodies. Then, next one, Daniel. Then we also need to understand that when God raises someone up, he uses a company of people to finish the work. All right? Like I shared before, Abraham and 380 men. Abraham, in a way, was raised by God, right? Chosen. But he had men with him to go. David also was raised up. And we know that God raised these people up because he loves his people. And that's why when one person raised up with a company of men, then the nations are free. You know, Moses and or Joshua, when Joshua took over from Moses, and the Israelites, God uses this to, in a way, subdue Egypt and also the other nations as they go into the promised land. So we see here, right, all these different things that God, mighty men of God that were chosen, but there's all this company of men that goes. And this company of men, even though they're not, per se, mentioned by name, but they have to come up to that same strength, if you will, same stature as all these men of God. They all had to be covenanted so that they all can move as one. Can we see that in our life, that when God starts dealing with us, It's not just personal, but also it's in context with the company of men. And then when we talk about all these examples, you know, these are all war, quote-unquote, war examples, taking over, you know, restoring, take back, you know, the things. But can we see also now, while we are here, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, maybe read together, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So as we go out, as we go out, do we see this event as significant? Is it just to show that Evangel is in the city? No. All right, there are some significant. So as we all play a part together, see yourself as being significant. We are pushing the powers of darkness. Together, you know, maybe let's look at it naturally. God raised up Adrian to be the organizer. But without all this, it cannot be done. Is that logical, right? Yeah? But spiritually, what we see here is that there are many things that Adrian goes through when he shed, God is dealing with him as well, that bring him to this stage. And then because of the covenantal relationship that we have here in Evangel, we can do this. Yeah? We all had that one mind. We all had that one, you know, put aside everything. This is what's on the agenda now. Let's all push together, right? And there is something that happened in the city of Perth at this event, right? And what's even more important, this is just the beginning. We've got more, right? We've got more to come. All right? And God has been releasing words like, you know, divine doors or opportunities are coming. So can you see that this is not, wow, big event, okay, time to rest. But we got to be prepared for something greater. Yeah. Amen? We got to be prepared for something great in store for Evangel. Amen? And we, all of us being covenanted together, we can move as one to push back the powers of darkness. Amen? All right? So in conclusion then, we need to realize, Daniel, in conclusion then, remember, come back to this individual responsibility. Everyone say with me, individual responsibility, corporate fulfillment. We need to realize that all of us are prepared for something great. We all have been saved for a purpose. All right? And when we learn to honor a covenantal relationship here, firstly, we need to obviously have this, take our relationship with God the Father seriously first. Okay. Secondly, there is God-appointed authorities in the house here. You know, we have Pastor Joseph as step man of the house. We have Pastor Machin working together, right, to train all of us up. You know, the spiritual authority to guide us, to train us up to, you know, basically exercise us so that we become to this, come up to this stature. And also, with the brothers in the house, we need to appreciate covenantal relationship. Yeah? And then only can we talk about city transformation. Right? We need to position ourselves this way before we can talk about city transformation. The hearts must be connected together. Amen? If not, everything, if we have individualistic spirit, you know, it's just me, then all these things will not happen. Basically, what we showed in the slide before, if we all need to work together and we see each of us, even like the miracle rally, can you see that we are a facilitator for God's move in Perth? We need to see all these things significant so that then we see each of us play a significant role. And when we realize we all have a significant role, then we take our life seriously. Yeah, we take all these corrections, all the word, all the Bible study, all this, we're taking it seriously. It's not just another session, another prayer meeting. It's all building up for one thing here, right? It's about pushing, let's put it positive. It's about taking the kingdom of God and extending it and subduing the powers of darkness. Amen? Yeah. Amen.